morning, church. You all been having a good time so far? All right. I remember one year I had to go to Beaver Dam, Kentucky. And my friend Rhett Wilson was the pastor at that time, and he had to travel. And he said, "Look, man, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go preach at my church, and they're going to treat you real good." And he said, "It's not too far." And so Rhett gave me some directions written down, and I followed those directions. And after I got off like this expressway, and I started going through these little towns, he started saying, "And when you get past the market with the hog out front, you make a left." And he had all kind of landmarks. But I tell you the truth, I found that place. It was amazing. I found that place. And so your pastor was concerned whether or not I was going to make it here. And the directions were quite easy. You know, I just had to, you know, stay straight on the path. No matter what the path looked like, I had to stay straight on that path. And then when I seen your street as I passed by it, Tansy, when I passed by it, I said, "All right, he gave good directions, and I'll just turn around in that man's driveway down the street." And so it worked out fine. I tell you, there's a common thing going around right now. There's something going around, and it can kind of be sad, because what's happening throughout many churches today is a lot of seats are becoming empty. You ever notice that? Empty seats. Why in the world, all these unsaved people, why in the world would there be empty seats? And so I was praying. I said, "Lord, even, you know, at our church," I kind of looked out one day and the attendance was low. And I started saying to myself, "Now, what did I do? What did I do? I showed up every Sunday. I give, I help people. We even started a business, created jobs, help people. We do summer camps and we take people in, and half the people never pay their fees, but we raise money to pay all the fees for all the kids." I said, "Now what did I do?" And I kept asking the Lord this question for several months. And even some mornings I would have tears in my eyes. And I would rehearse sometime about certain families that have kind of picked up and left. And I said, "Well, Lord, you just had me go up and pay their bills. I don't understand this thing. You had me go to the hospital to see this one family, and they don't even attend the church. They come every now and then, and they don't even participate much. What's going on?" And one of the things the Lord had to put in my heart was, he says, "You know, the people aren't resisting you. They're only resisting me. You're just a stand." And I said, "Well, Lord, sometimes it's kind of hard to stand, because when you're in leadership, leadership can be a great calling. It can be great. You can be on front stage all the time. You can be at places and thousands of people, and everybody knows your name. But then again, leadership can be also hard, because people expect so much from the leaders. They expect the leader to be on time. They expect the leader to be cordial and everything. They expect the leader, check this one out, to do everything you say. You know you're supposed to listen to me. You know I got authority around here. You know what I mean? That's what they tell the leaders. But a lot of times people don't understand what does a kingdom leader actually go through. And at this time in the book of Exodus, Moses is, you know what, I would have been quit if I was Moses. All right, right after that we got out of Egypt, I would have just stood back and said, "Now you all just keep going straight. Me and Miriam, me and Zipporah, we going over here. We going over here. My boys, you know, they're at a certain age now. I think I need to spend time teaching them how to play kick the rock or something. I don't know what game they played, you know. But I might have told all them folks, y'all just go right ahead." But Moses was called to lead, and he was called to lead at a particular time that no one else could have done that job. No one else would have been able to do the things that God has called them at that time. And there were many great people, I believe, in the children of Israel who was believing God and who was waiting on deliverer. But only Moses was fit for that time. And so today I want to share a little bit about we must support Moses. We must support Moses. At this time in chapter 17, now they're in a war, in a battle with the Amalekites. And these people were some wild folks. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you, they show up on the scene and they just come down and raid and they come down and tear up. I mean, they were a little bit nastier than the Egyptians because they didn't try to have no one place in the land. They just roamed the land, and wherever they were causing havoc. And it all goes back to when we think about how sin started. It all goes back to Genesis. On the first day that sin came into the world, when the serpent tricked up Adam and Eve, and then all of a sudden their eyes were open and they noticed they were naked. Remember back then? And then Adam and Eve, you know, and I always say this one as a joke. If I was God, when they was trying to hide with them little fig leaves, I would have made winter come right in. I would have hit them. I mean, a snowstorm, bam! But thank you, the Lord, that I'm that God, all right? But things happened and sin entered the world, and we all understand about Cain and Abel. Abel did a good thing in the sight of the Lord. He brought the right offering to the Lord, and Cain, he didn't do as well. And so now there's this friction between brothers, between people who have came out of the same loins. There's friction. And then we understand through Genesis how everything started going forward. And then when you start reading the book of Genesis, let me tell you this. All these names, and all these names, and they represent different groups, a people group that started out. And now you see on the earth is all these folks, and these folks are wild. Well, Amalek, they were wild. And they were crazy, and they did exactly what they wanted to do, and they took over what they wanted to take over. You couldn't even, it's like that song that we used to sing, ain't no stopping us now. But God always has a plan. And in his plan, he raises up a particular person to stand at that time for his will and for his glory. And so now the children of Israel are approached with this great battle. And so what I love so much here in the Bible, it talks about some support. For the first time, you'll really see about some support. Now, we're not talking about financial support. Some people are good at financial support. They'll give you a dollar, they'll give you a quarter, they'll give you some financial support. But that's as far as they will go. We're talking about real support that helps lift someone up, that keeps them in the position to be able to serve God. In this text, it talks about God's hand is now going to be against these mighty warriors. And so Moses did some wonderful things, what I love. He gave some instructions to one young man that always stuck close, Joshua. Joshua was a young man, and he had great zeal, and he had great love for the Lord. You know that if you read further on in the history of Israel, that when they sent over the 12 spies, remember that? Sent them over to the promised land, and they all went over there, and they came back with the grapes, and they said, wow, this is everything like they were saying, but there was 10 of them who gave a bad report, but only Joshua and Caleb, they gave the good report. Joshua, go out, man. I want you to go through the congregation, and I want you to find some men who's going to get out here and battle, who's going to get out and take a stand. And when they take this stand, you know what, Joshua? I'm going up here on this mountain, and I'm going to take this staff that the Lord gave me, and I'm going to take this, and I'm going to hold it up. And so Joshua went out there, and he was fighting. And I mean, he was getting down. He was cutting them left and right. You know, you've seen the karate movies now. They got about 4 or 5 swords. Just swords come out of everywhere. And Joshua probably dropped the sword and kicked it back up. Bam! Caught it. Wah, wah, wah. And I mean, he was just getting down. And Moses was standing up there, go Joshua, go Joshua, go, 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 go Joshua. And his arms started falling down. Then the Bible says that now the Amalekites, now they're starting to win. And so there was something that was needed. And so Aaron and Ur, here comes Aaron. Everybody remember Aaron? You'll see it later in Exodus, especially chapter 33. Aaron really does something quite remarkable. And this is jumping up there. You know Aaron, the one who helped build the golden calf? While Moses is up on the mountain, Aaron's down there because all the people came and got Aaron off track because he was persuaded to follow what? To follow the crowd. And you know what happens when someone follows the crowd. Normally the leader is not in that crowd. And it's always someone who wants that authority, but they don't have that authority. And check this one out. And it's not even given to them. They just have a specific role to play. And when Moses came down, hey, Aaron, what happened, man? Hey, Moses, all's I know, they gave me all this gold. We threw it in the pot. Out jumped out this golden calf. It just jumped out. Jack in the box. Hey, here I am. But now Moses is up there and he's holding up and the children of Israel are doing a great job. They're fighting. Then his arms drop down and now the children of Israel are starting to lose the battle. And Moses is growing weary. And so Hur and Aaron, they did something remarkable. They took a stone and they placed it up under Moses. And by placing the stone up under Moses, what happened was now they were giving him some type of support so that he would be able to maintain his position, maintain where God has placed him, maintain being the leader called at that particular time. He was giving something to support him. Try driving a car on a milk crate. I dare, especially on these roads y'all got. Take your seats out of your car, get a little milk crate, and I want you to drive like you be driving, and you know how you drive. And look, Texan, you be all over the place. And so now he's getting a little more support. Now the children of Israel, once again, they're starting to win. But also, Moses is getting a little weary because whenever we're in a battle, say battle, the whole body of Christ is in a spiritual battle. And each battle in the Old Testament was truly a spiritual battle. What it was the enemy against God. That's why they call them the enemies of God. And that's why God planned to blot them out so that they would not be remembered in a way of being victorious, but they are remembered in a way of being defeated by Almighty God, using a man at that particular time, but yet that man needed some support. So what happens? Here comes Aaron, he gets on one side, and he starts actually holding Moses' arms up. He's pushing him up. And Hearn, he gets on the other side and he's pushing him up. And now what's happening is the victory is being won once again. Why? Because the man Moses has support. And when there's no support, everybody does what everybody wants to do. Everybody has a way of wanting to be the leader. Remember the Ten Commandment movie, Cecil B. DeMille? Do you remember that? That was, hey, let me tell you, that was the best movie. When I was little, I'm 52 now. When I was little, we went to the movies, and when I seen the Red Sea open up, I was like, oh, wow, I'm gonna be on God's side. Then I got out of the movies and did something wrong and got a whooping. I got the right hand of fellowship that day. And the left. It's sometime a foot. It just depends how close I was, you know. And what was so remarkable in that movie, there was a guy called Nathan. Remember when they were doing the lamb's blood for the Passover? Nathan didn't want it on his house. But you know what? I believe he probably said, thank you for putting that blood on my crib. Thank you. Hey, I'm still here. But remember in that movie, there was a part that he wanted to lead the children back to Egypt. He wanted to lead them back to Pharaoh, back to oppression, back to slavery, back to being put down each and every day, back to being mistreated. Remember that? Sometimes in our days that we live in, we have leaders like that. We have people who rise up against the leader and says, let me lead you. And the only place that they lead you is back to poverty, is back to slavery, is back to sin. And I tell people all the time, I have a lot of youth around me, and some of them stuck out with me, and some of them went on about their business. And I tell people all the time, like, if you want to get out there and do all that crazy mess, that's your thing. Don't involve me with that. And don't think I'm going to follow that, because I know the God who I serve. God raises up leaders for a certain time, and these leaders are actually images of Christ on the earth. They're called under shepherds, am I right? If Christ, he's the great shepherd, and we call leaders now under shepherds. And the under shepherd who is under Christ is now greatly, listen, he has been called at this great time to continue the work that was started in the beginning. We all believe Jesus is coming back, don't we? Now, this is the only problem. How is he going to catch you when he comes back? He going to catch somebody at the club? I can't even do the running man no more. Oh, my God. He going to catch you at the club? Is he going to catch you with that little bit of white lightning talking about it's good for my bones, but every time you finish it, you fall down because your bones got weak, right? How is he going to catch you? Is he going to catch you following his will? Is he going to catch you supporting Moses? Is he going to catch you following the plan of God? I love missions. I really do. I believe that we need to evangelize other countries. Don't you? We'll send money to China, to Haiti. We'll send everything over there, won't we? But you want to know where we don't do any mission work? We go to work day after day, and we work with unsaved people, and we will not try to introduce them to Christ. But you know what? We'll come into the break room, and somebody will be in there cussing, and then we just join in instead of saying, listen, come on, quit talking like that. We send our kids to school, and when they go to school, you know what? Sometimes they're afraid to mention the Bible. Why? Because of some of these laws that are out now, right? Let me tell you this. I got a restaurant, and if you come in that restaurant, I guarantee you there's Bibles in there. I guarantee you, you'll see scriptures and things all on the wall. And check this one out. Somebody came in there and was saying, well, why is all this stuff up there? We don't need all, you don't need all this. I said, you don't need to come in here, man. I ain't tell you, look, you go to Penn Station. Matter of fact, go Subway. They got a microwave. When Moses is supported throughout all the local congregations that are opened up in the name of Jesus Christ, no matter what denomination, because sometimes we have too many fights about denominations, don't we? Oh, there go the Baptists over there. Oh, no. Oh, Gargamel. Here comes the Methodists. Oh, no. Oh, no. Service going to take too long. Got to get up. Got to get down. Got to get up. Got to get down. I thought we was a dancing church when I was little. We were Methodists. We was up. We was down. We was up. We had more collections than collections. And we get caught up into the wrong things. And so whenever Moses starts fellowshipping and bonding with some of his brothers and his sisters that are not of the same denomination, then all of a sudden we want to get Moses out. Get him out of here. He went over to them people. But them people have the same Jesus Christ as us people. They just got a few different doctrine issues. I deal with it all the time. But no matter what goes on, the local church has to support Moses. As we've seen in this text, and I'm going to give you three things we should do. As we've seen in this text, when Moses was supported properly, the battle was won. And then Moses came to this realization, Jehovah Nissi, meaning God is my banner. For with uplifted hands, God has delivered us. With uplifted hands, God is my banner. And each and every one of us, each and every day should be wearing that banner. The Lord is my banner. I mean, we shouldn't be hiding it. We should be shouting it, and we should believe it and share it with everybody. We want to get over there to China, but we can't get nobody here. What is the problem? This is the problem. Moses has to be supported because Moses is the under shepherd under Christ, right? Now, if you want me to prove it, go to Ephesians. I'll prove it, what the Bible says. And so when the man of God is supported properly and everybody is helping him keep uplifted hands unto the Lord, then we start seeing the change and the victory that comes through serving God. Because let me tell you this, why don't one of you all tell somebody one day, when you hear somebody complaining about the pastor, just do this one. Tell them, go start a church and show us how it's done. Because you know what, Brother Pete? There's a lot of people that feel they could do this job better. But it ain't about doing it better. It's about having the right heart. Because Moses confessed when God first called him, he said, look, I can't even speak right. Moses had a speech impediment. He stuttered. And so he had to get Aaron, had to go speak. It's in the book. It's in Genesis. It's in Exodus. It's in there when Moses was trying to give God a reason why he shouldn't send him. Moses was the first one to admit all of his flaws. He understood that he was a valiant man because he made his escape from Egypt because he killed a man trying to bring forth the kingdom of God in the wrong way. And so when we have those uplifted hands, when Moses is properly supported, when the congregation is gathering around Moses and not trying to lead Moses, we start seeing progress being made. Now let me give you a quick example of when the children of Israel got off track. And well, look, we could just stay here all day and talk about that for real. Matter of fact, all the Exodus, every time you look, the children of Israel doing something, they weren't happy with the manna. Remember the manna that came down from heaven? Moses gave them the instructions with God, said, listen, you're to pick a certain amount of manna each day, and on the sixth day, you're to pick a double portion, because on the seventh day, you're to rest, that Sabbath day rest. You know what? People went out there anyway to get some of that manna, and the Bible declares that it was rotten. So it's very important to listen to the man of God that God has raised up at this particular time to serve where God has placed him, because we are all in spiritual warfare. Say warfare. We're all in spiritual warfare, and we need our Moses. We need, listen, he's not Jesus, but we need our Moses, who is operating under Christ. We need that. How many of you all know we need a leader to help us? Because if God didn't want leaders, he wouldn't have put this thing together. He did it, not none of us. I wasn't clever enough to write the Bible. I would have wrote the book of Barry. In the book of Barry, a lot of people be zapped. I'd be like, what you say? Write new scripts. Thou gattest smart with Barry, thou is Zaptiff, and his family. Except Susie, she was very nice to me. Amen. So let me give you three things to help us out with this today, all right? Because all around, churches are emptying out. because Moses ain't being supported properly. And we're not just talking about finance. Somebody says, listen, I gave and he got a raise. Well, nah, you can pay somebody, you know, to be a puppet for you. And you can raise their arms every day. That's a puppet. That's not a pastor. Three things. Number one is this. We support Moses because Moses intercedes for us. When the children of Israel got off track in Exodus chapter 32 through 34, something took place. God got fed up with the children of Israel. And Moses was telling the Lord, listen, you know, okay, we got through all that. We made the people grind up their golden calf, and they ate dust, and some people got slaughtered. And so Moses is talking with God, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. And God said, hold up, brother. Them some stiff-necked people. That's what God said in the Bible. I didn't write it. I would have wrote something else. He says, there's some stiff-necked people, and God's word says, I don't want to be around them anymore. God's saying, I don't want to be there. My presence, I don't want my presence around these folks, because you know what? They're going to make me mad, and I'm going to kill them. I'm going to tear them up. It's found in Exodus chapter 34. You could find these things yourself in 33. God said, I'm going to kill them. I don't want to be around them. Imagine that, church. You wake up and God says, I don't want to be around you. You walking down the street and you starting to pray to God. And he's like, I don't want to have nothing to do with you because you're a bunch of stiff-necked people. What if that happened? Ain't that amazing? That a holy God would come to the point of being frustrated. But what did Moses do? Moses interceded in 34 verses 8 through 9. Moses bowed to the ground once again and worshiped. He bowed down to God and he worshiped. Oh Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes, he said, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff neck people, forgive our wickedness and our sins and take us as your inheritance. So we support Moses because Moses is interceding for us. Long before we get up sometime, Moses is already up praying to the Lord God Almighty in the name of Jesus Christ, asking God to bring relief to his people. Moses is already interceding when we don't know how to pray sometimes. Moses is praying for us. He's right there in the presence of God because the Bible declares that God meets with those who seek him. So we support him because he intercedes. And I don't know about you, but I always need somebody praying for me. There's pastors that I know that when I first got saved and I was wild as can be, I just came from the streets. My nickname used to be Mr. Getaway because I used to stick people up and then I would get away. My nickname used to be drug dealer because I sold a lot of drugs, and then my nickname was drug addict because I used a lot of drugs, and it took some men of God to come around me, and they lifted up holy hands and they prayed for me, and as they were praying for me, I was starting to praise and seek God myself. So thank you that someone prayed for me. Jesus intercedes for us. He's on the right hand of the Father each and every day making intercessory for who? For his children. I know some of us don't do no wrong. I know in this church. Y'all ain't never cussed. I ain't cussed. You thought it. Amen. Come on, amen, tell truth, shame the devil, give God a hand praise, shame the devil, come on, give God a hand praise. I'll get ready to go cross the bridge, it don't even matter. Number two, first one, we support Moses because he intercedes for us. That's what a good pastor does, all right? Number two, we support Moses so we as a church can experience the power and presence of God. We as a church should always be willing and open to experience the power and the presence of God. Let me tell you this, church, when things are done in order, decent and in order, and I know how systems are made. I'm up out of Southern Baptist. I went to school at Boyce. I got 2 degrees, theology. I got degrees in theology, biblical counseling. Get ready, finish up my master's degree. I am degreed up the wall, all right? And I studied a lot of different church. I studied church history, and I found out how churches broke up and how they came apart and how this started and how that started. And so we must, listen, as a church, we support Moses because we want to experience the power and the presence of God. And so if we fight against our leaders, do you know God is not with us? If we're bickering and always grumbling about leadership, do you understand that God is not in that? And let me tell you this. Let me hit you with this one. We're getting ready to come up on elections again, right? Elections. You know that's going to separate families? Because everybody believed that whoever they vote for, that's who God sent. Tell the truth. I hate election time. Because election time brings out the ugliness of people. And God wants us all to experience his power, his glory, his joy. It says this in Exodus, and you can find this one, Exodus chapter 14, verse 30 through 31. And this was after that Red Sea event. It says, that day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead, okay. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. So we support Moses because Moses is always on the forefront. He's in the battle, right? And we're God's soldiers, right? How many of you are God's soldiers? We're God's soldiers, right? And we want to see the power of God. We want to see God moving today. You know what? We don't see much of God's power because we resist what he's doing sometimes. We have built walls up around doctrines. We have built walls up around our thoughts. We have built walls up around our communities and our cultures. And sometimes we need these walls. Really, we need the walls to come down so that we can see the power of God, so that we can get up and give a testimony about how great our God is. We sing a song, "How Great is Our God." And so we need to support Moses and get on the right side with God's people, and so that we can experience what God has. A Christian without a testimony is a Christian who does not know God. Each born again believer should have a testimony about the power of God. It doesn't matter if you didn't do drugs, then your testimony should be how God kept you when temptation tried to hit you. We want to support Moses because Moses is going to help us usher each Sunday into God's presence. And then when we leave out of here, we expect our awesome God to do something. I wake up each morning expecting God to do something. Where William Carey went to India and he started missionary work in India. He didn't see much work in the beginning, but what he said was, "I expect great things from God, so I'm going to attempt great things." I expect God to show out each and every day. God, you bad dude. You got it going on. Sometimes we got, how many of y'all ladies been rapped to by y'all men? Raise your hand, ladies. This is not real. Okay, let me speak like this. How many of you ladies been wooed by a certain gentleman? "Hey girl, your eyes look like heaven." I don't know what your rap is like. But "Girl, you got it going on. When I seen you, I understood sunshine, because you brought light into my dark day." All right. Got a little game, you know. If we want to see God's power and presence, we're supporting Moses. And then check this one out. We need to learn how to rap to God. We need to tell him how great and how awesome and how wonderful he is. You know, at my church, there's this one lady who loved Billy D. Billy D old. I mean, he was, when I was young, he was old. He's Billy D old, but that, girl, I love Billy D, and she's old too, and I just look at him, and she just loved Billy D. And so she's always talking good about Billy D. Imagine if we start talking about the Lord like that. How great you are, not just on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Imagine that. And then we're supporting Moses, and then we have such an experience with God, we don't want it to stop. Number three, and I'll be done. Number three. We support Moses so that he will not wear himself out. We support Moses so that he's not worn out. Because most pastors, let me tell you this, a lot of pastors die wearing themselves out. Because our hearts, we want to meet the needs of the people, but we really can't meet the needs of the people. God meets the needs, and we got to stay before the cross and humbling ourselves. But sometimes we get involved in everything. And in Exodus chapter 18, there's something wonderful. And what happened was this. Everybody now, they come to Moses. Jethro is Moses' father-in-law. How many of y'all got a nice father-in-law? How many of y'all hope to get a father-in-law? I hope you get one. That means you're going to get married, all right? Don't be no heathens talking about God called you to be fruitful. He called you to get married first, all right? I don't care. I'm going across the bridge, whatever. You can't touch me. You wish? I'm just having fun. I'm finished this. We support Moses so that he will not wear himself out. Moses at that time was handling everything. Everything. All the problems. He'd be up early and people were just in long lines and they're coming to Moses. And so Jethro looks at Moses and says, "Hold up, man. This is not good. This is not good." He said, "What you need to do, you need to get some men of good character. Not somebody who's sleeping around. Not somebody who's a thief. Don't get nobody. Can I just say this one? Don't get no helper who won't tithe. Don't get a helper who won't, check this one out, who won't read the Bible. How you gonna help me and you don't even know God? What you gonna do? Can I get an amen on the, think about it. How can you help the Moses if you don't know God?" So he says, "Get some people," and he says, "and some going to be able to handle thousands, some will handle hundreds." And he went on down the line, and he said, "This way that other people are supporting you by sharing in on the work of the ministry." In the book of Acts, chapter 6, it shares about the seven. And we love that. You know how they talk about the seven and the deacons, remember? In Acts, and the apostle says, "Listen, we got to be up here preaching and teaching, and we got to be doing the praying and things like that. So we need some help and get some men that are worthy to be out here to serve tables," meaning serving the people, so no one gets missed over. But you know what happened later on? There's a problem that arose. Those who were called to assist, start wanting to run. But none of them are Moses. They got the positions. We use the framework of elders and deacons, and you know, we got the positions, right? But then they want to start telling Moses what to do. And then what happens is now the church is not the church that God had in mind. Because God is a God of order. And when God lays down an order, we must be willing to obey it. And let me tell you this, sometimes we might think Moses is getting ready to make a decision that's crazy. And you know what we do? We get like the Israelites that went over into the promised land, came back with all that good fruit. You know what I mean? They had big grape, got to read it. They came back and they were saying, man, it is good, it is good. And Moses probably was up there like, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you, man? Didn't I tell you? God told me, boy. I told you. And then they got, listen, then they got in the ears of the people. And they started spreading, we can't do it. We can't do it. This pastor's crazy. How in the world are we going to go out and evangelize a community and all we got is corn around us? Well, pick some corn, make a path, and get to the next house. That's from the Holy Ghost, man. I ain't even figured that one. That's a good one. I ain't got my pen. When we're called to support Moses, our position is not over Moses, but our position is to serve Moses as he's serving God. And if you got someone who's standing in integrity, who's willing to say, I'm not perfect, but I am called today to do the job that God has given me to do. If you have that type of person, then you need to be able to support him. Come on up here. You the bass player? We're the guitar player. Come on, man. Organ. Come on up here. Where's that drummer? Bring it up. 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 Up. We got the idea's been pitched to you all about supporting, right? You understand that Moses here today is your pastor, who is the under-shepherd of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. We understand that God put an order how he set up the church, and we're to obey that order, and we're to be supportive, right? As you all play something soft and sweet, play How Great Is Our God. You know, help us for a minute. We worship in spirit and truth, right? We want to see the seats filled in our church. Am I right? Tell the truth. And we want to see people coming to Christ. We want them to come to Christ. So we got to be able to help support Moses, who God gives the vision to for this local congregation, right? Come on up here, Pastor. Stand right here, Pastor Pete. When I was praying about what to share and what lesson to do, this is what the Lord put on my heart. He's battling. He's battling for you. He's battling for me. He's battling. He's a spiritual man battling. But sometime Pastor Pete gets tired. I got a question. Who will be an Aaron? Who will be an Aaron to come lift up his left hand? You got to do it. Just the Aarons. I want the Aarons right now. Give me a couple Aarons. Left. Now the battle is starting to look a little better. It's looking a little better. Children of Israel getting that Gatorade up in them right now. But they need the whole plunge. Who will be her on the right hand? Who will help support him on his right hand? Don't jump. I need some right hands. Get on the right. And I got one more. One more. My wife and I have been married going on 18 years. It's been rough. She has watched me cry many a time. She has watched me suffer for people. She has watched me lose it all and then had to look her in the face and say, listen, we're going to be all right. Because I did this thing because God told me to do it. How many of you all will be a support? You know what that is? That's a woman of God supporting the man of God. If you will be that person, will you just stand right now? Now we're going to take an oath to the Lord. And we're going to agree with uplifted hands, God has delivered us today. With uplifted hands, God has delivered us today. And that we have the victory. Though they went out from us, they were not with us, so that's why they left. But those who are with us are standing here today, and we're declaring that we're Joshua. We're declaring that we're Zipporah. We're declaring that we're her. We are declaring that we are children of God Almighty. And if you believe in the Lord Almighty, lift your hands up and give God a shout today. Give God a victory shout and support Moses today. Give God a shout. Quit being a quiet church. Somebody needs to shout. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got victory today. Some might have left us, but God is for us. Who can be against us? There is no weapon that is formed shall prosper against us. We are going to support Moses. We are going to uphold God's holy ordinance. We're not going to the left or to the right. We're going to stay on that straight, narrow path. We might get disliked. We might get talked about. But we're going to stand, and we're going to stand Christ the solid rock. You got to stand with your Moses today. You got to stand and be willing to do what God commands. This ain't about you. It's about Jesus. This thing ain't about Barry Keith. It's about Jesus. And if you understand that today, give God one more shout. Shout hallelujah. Give God the victory cry. The children of Israel marched around Jericho, and then they said, yeah. You can do it, church. You can do it. In the name of Jesus, with the power God has invested in me as a pastor, as an evangelist today. Father, I declare peace, harmony, and blessings on these. I declare prosperity that would bring your kingdom glory, oh God. I declare weapons that are coming up against them, they're cast down today. And every tongue that rises up, oh God, You'll deal with it. You'll deal with it. But today, Father, we have victory. And I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to bless the man of God, bless the people of God here. For Lord, if it hadn't been for you, we all be dead. We'd be dead in our sins. But we thank you today, Almighty God, for you have been wonderful and you are awesome. And we will support your Moseses throughout this country as you raise them up for your glory and forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God a hand praise and give somebody a hug. Give somebody a hug. Give your Moses a hug. You might have not hugged him today. I looked around. I ain't see you hug him. You have been blessed because God has given you someone to love on you. And I just tell you, church is hard in leadership. Because sometimes there's so many people, we got a whole body of believers with all kinds of gifts and talents. And just think if we start using that right here in the kingdom of God, we'll be able to send more over to China. Listen, if you ain't got nobody here, who you gonna send? We gotta help build this up so we can send them out. We gotta quit sitting back, putting our heads down, you know, and say, oh, that man's crazy. No, I am a little crazy. I am, but my church in the West End, you gotta be crazy. I got bullet holes in my building. I got 41 stab wounds. Yeah, I'm a little crazy. But I'd rather die serving God than die serving this world. To your heart, lead me to your heart.